Make your career connection now at 521-TALK, 521-8255. And now, here's George Dutch.
Welcome to another live edition of the Career Connection right here on your News Talk radio station 580 CFRA in the nation's capital city. This show is live, coming to you from the studios at 1900 Walkley Road. And it's August 15th, summer 99, winding down. A beautiful, perfect summer day with blue skies overhead as I look out the windows here at the studio. Well, today we've got a special show. We're live, but I'm really talking to you mothers out there, especially you mothers who've got a son or a daughter between 17, 23 years old. Are you anxious about their future? What's the question in your mind? To go to college, to go to university, or not to go? What's the answer? Do you fight about the answer with your teen or your young adult? I don't want to go, says your child. But I want you to go, says mother. What for? You need an education to get ahead in life, says the paternal voice of wisdom. No, I don't. What are you going to do then? I don't know, says the teenage rebel. I'm not going to pay for you to run around and waste your time, says the mother. You don't have to. I'll get a job. What kind of job? Selling t-shirts at rock concerts. That's not a job. That's a lifestyle, says the anxious mother. Oh, what do you know, says the teen rebel. I know that an education opens doors to a better life. Right. Like yours, sneers the sarcastic teen. Fill in the blanks for the rest of the conversation on whatever goes on in your house. Because today's show is about the anxiety that we have for the future for the young adults, the young teens in our houses, in our homes. And I want you to join in our discussion. But I do have two experts in this field right here in the studios with me this afternoon. Two mothers who've been there, done that. And we're going to hear their stories this evening. But we'd also hoping that you will join us and share some of your stories. With me, right across from me here in the studio, is Vera Adamovich, who's a financial advisor here in Ottawa. And to her left is Elaine Bisson, who's a supervisor, a daycare supervisor here in Ottawa. Now, Vera, how old was your child when they came for career counseling?
Yeah, she came just before her her 18th birthday, George, in the 12th grade.
What's her name?
Her name is Adrian.
Sure. Elaine, you've got a son?
I do. He came when he was 17. He's 17 now, so just not too long ago. And yeah, in grade 12, when we have to make some decisions about OAC.
What was the anxiety in your mind? What made you concerned about your son Stuart's future?
What made us concerned is he has to make some decisions about next year, whether he's going on to university or not, and he has no idea what he wants to do, none whatsoever. So he's been taking a variety of courses, this and that, but has absolutely no focus. And I know that by this year, he's got to have some sort of focus. He's got to know what he wants to do, whether he wants to go on to university. He flip-flops constantly. He wants to go to university. At least he's prepared. He's taken on the advanced courses. But then 2 days later, he says, well, I think I'll get a job, and that's fine. And then he thinks he'll go to college. So, like...
There's a lot of confusion, isn't there, in a young mind? What to do? The future is spread out before them. Mom and dad are anxious. They want them... son or daughter to get off to a good start, make a good decision, because good beginnings count for a lot. And yet there can be confusion in the sense that they don't know what to do, or there can be confusion in that they've got an idea of 10 or 15 or 6 different jobs that they'd love to do. What was your case, Vera?
Well, in my case, my concern stemmed from the fact that I saw my daughter doing exactly what I had done, which was just enjoying high school, stumbling along, not able to really draw any conclusions about what she wanted to do, and then coming home one day in grade 12 saying, you know, by the end of Friday I have to decide what I'm going to do because I have to make decisions on these important courses that are going to dictate my future. And it brought back, in my case, memories to being in exactly the same boat, except here we are 30-some years later and nothing's changed. And then when it really went off for me was when she came home a couple of days later and said, guess what, I've made the decision. And the decision was made based on a 15-minute conversation with a guidance counselor who said, this is what you should do because this is where the jobs will be 4 years from now. And my reaction to that, having gone through my own personal career changes throughout life, was where the jobs are going to be in 4 years, what's that got to do with being happy in your work?
And yet, so that's common advice, isn't it?
It's very common
labor
advice.
Market information is the basis of information that many professionals give their clients, whether they're children or young adults, 17 to 23 years old, or in their mid-careers, is this is what the economy requires, this is what the labor market is telling us, make a decision on that. In other words, conform to what's needed in the economy, as opposed to looking inside yourself first. There's a difference between working from the outside in and the inside out. And what we're talking about, of course, this evening is a process of the inside out, looking at yourself first. And that's not easy to do when you're 17, 18, 19 years old, because part of life is having a life, is having enough experience on which to make decisions. And that's not always easy. But we're going to talk about the particular situations that you had with your son, Elaine, and your daughter, Vera. But first, we're going to take a short break. I want to give out the numbers if you want to join our conversation. 521-TALK, 521-8255, 1-800-582-3722, and star 580 on your Bell Mobility system. Stay tuned to 580 CFRO. We'll be right back to talk some more.
You're listening to Career Connection on Ottawa's News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA. The number to call to speak with George Dutch is 521-TALK, 521-8255. George returns in a moment.
CFRA every day.
CFRA every day.
When big things are happening in Ottawa, first place I go is CFRA.
CFRA every day of the week.
Keeps me informed and in touch.
CFRA every day.
Police keeping tight-lipped about the investigation at this hour.
From the CFRA Financial Desk.
CFRA every day.
CFRA gives us breaking news exactly when it's happening.
Ottawa's News Talk Radio.
CFRA. Always CFRA.
580 CFRA every day.
It's your day. You're on your way.
Hello, Sid. This is Fred from grade 4. The same Fred used to beat up for lunch money every day. Know where I'm eating lunch today, Sid? Just outside Buckingham Palace, where the Queen lives.
Use your free SO Extra card for your chance to win a trip to London on the Concorde and a trip to Paris on the Orient Express.
I flew here on the Concorde with my wife, and then we're taking the Orient Express to Paris. So you're still at the bowling alley?
Fly to London on British Airways Concorde, then ride to Paris on the Orient Express. The more you swipe your SO Extra card, the better your chances of winning.
Oh, your head been set now. Very good, Sid.
Approximate retail value of each prize is $45,000. One prize each for August, September, and October. Contest closes midnight, October 31st, 1999. No purchase necessary. Rules of participating stations.
You're on your way with Esso.
Swipe the car, get the extras.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
My name is George Dutch. I have a private practice as a career consultant here in Ottawa, and I want to thank you for making me part of your Sunday evening here on August 15th, 1999. Another super Sunday in summer 1999. This show is live. The numbers here are 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 in your Bell Mobility system if you're driving around this beautiful evening. Please pull over before you make your call. And if you're surfing on the web this evening at CFRA.com, toll-free call from anywhere in North America, 1-800-580-2372. That's 1-800-580-2372. Mothers, and fathers too, let's not exclude fathers, but mothers, if you've got a son or daughter between 17 or 23 years old, are you anxious about their future? What can you do for them? And I'm joined in the studio this evening with two mothers that did feel a lot of anxiety for the future of their children. Vera Adamovich, who's a financial advisor here in Ottawa and has a daughter in her teens, late teens, and Elaine Bisson, who has a son about the same age in his late teens, were both anxious about the future of their children, their job prospects, and they decided to take some action. Vera, you were talking just before the break that the advice that you got from guidance counselor at schools was that Adrian, your daughter, should go into a particular area because there were going to be a lot of job openings available in the near future. And she was making her decision, like a lot of people do, based on labor market information. But you didn't think that was a good idea.
No, I didn't. And one of the things that concerned me is that so many kids at that age, at 17, 18, where they're required to make decisions, really don't have an idea. And the only options they have in terms of advice, the only real options supplied through the education system are the guidance counselors. Elaine and I were talking just before the show about the fact that nothing has changed there since we were kids.
It's the same form, I think, that do you like to ride in a fire truck? You know, and you check it out. I think now it goes through a computer as opposed to the guidance counselor putting a little sheet over the top to see what but it's the same careers, it looks like.
You know, not to knock any individual guidance counselors, because they're teachers, and I have tremendous respect for teachers, but I think the education system has really failed in advancing in that area, in guidance, in career counseling for kids, and I think it's a very, very sad state.
Okay, well, we don't want to spend our time maligning guidance counselors
no,
on this show,
but,
whatever the case may be, but there is a reality that it's not, in many cases, students are not getting enough information on which to make good decisions, at least in the short term, about what to do in terms of education or work, whatever the case may be. So what else can they do?
Well, parents have to look at other alternatives. And in my case, what kind of shocked me into it was when my daughter came home saying, I chatted with my guidance counselor, and this is where the jobs will be, and she... Well, if I could be specific, she happened to have chosen, she came home and told me that she'd chosen ECE, early childhood education,
right.
Which coincidentally, my good friend Elaine is in. And because I've known Elaine for 20 years and know that she is wonderful at what she does because she was lucky enough to find her passion early in life, for all those same reasons, I knew that my daughter didn't have that. The first thing I said to her when she said I wanted to go to ECE, I said, I don't remember you even enjoying babysitting. And her response was, well, but Mom, that doesn't matter. That's where the jobs will be in the next few years. Well, as a mother, that frightened me. That kind of lack of logic frightened me. And then it was one of the first people I talked to, and she was willing to be helpful by allowing Adrian to come in and work with some of the people, some of the caregivers, so she'd get a real sense of it. But in advance of that, I was fortunate because I'd worked with you personally on a personal level, George. I decided to send her for private career and guidance counseling, which I think every kid should have an option at, because these are such difficult decisions to make at such a young stage.
Well, that's the point that I wanted to make, is that even though Adrian was only 17 years old, there was a lot of pressure on her to make a decision, and she was quite desperate to make one. And so somebody gave her some specific information. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any reason to argue against it or to go in a different direction. So she happily grasped that solution that was offered to her and was ready to run with it.
Absolutely.
And in the long run, it may have been a detriment to her, but in the short run, at least it would have provided her with some kind of focus. And the truth is, she can be an early child educator. Most of us can learn enough skills through educational programs or training or on-the-job experience to do something competently. She can do it.
But now you're coming to another concern that I've always had, and that is, of course she could. She could go and take any program at any school and succeed and do it and work in that job, and she could work in that job for the rest of her life. But I've always felt that it's very important to be happy at your work and that it affects every aspect of your being.
Right.
And I learned that personally. It took me a long time to find my life's work because I just flew by the seat of my pants without any guidance. And as a mother, I wanted more for my child.
Okay, Elaine, you're a daycare supervisor, so you must see these young people come through your daycare facility. And some people obviously have got a knack or a talent or a flair for being a daycare worker.
Definitely.
And others don't. And you must see that regularly.
I see that all the time. When Vera said about babysitting, that, just because they've been a good babysitter, they think that they could make a good early childhood educator. And it's totally different. Totally different. So, I see that often, that some people have a natural ability and some people do not, and they have to work and struggle at it, and they'll never be happy. They'll never be happy in it. So,
You were telling me just before the show, when we had a few minutes to speak, that one of the things that alerted you to your son's career decision-making crisis, so to speak, if you can say that's what it is at age 17 or whatever the case may be, was that many of us, of course, follow a formula. Good grades, good school, good test scores, good university ends up with a good job. That's the formula that many of us follow.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw people coming through your business, through your facility, that had followed that formula.
Mm-hmm. I was working at Algonquin as a coordinator for one of the programs, and people would be coming through with a good education, a Bachelor of Arts in something, and couldn't get any work. And so they needed a college education. And so that scares me. I've got a son who's I'm trying to to help him make some decisions. And all I'm seeing all the time is young people coming through my door saying, I can't get a job.
Well, you're trying to impress him on the value of getting a good education.
A university education. That's all I keep thinking, you know, that would be so good. He needs a university education. All these university people are coming to me saying, I can't get a job. And that's why I decided to go outside of the school system to get some career counseling for him, just to make him feel a little bit more comfortable.
Right. And eventually he came to me, and we'll talk about that process a little later. Mm-hmm. But Vera, do you think that parents should be narrowly focused on a university education?
Absolutely not, George. I think we defeat our own purpose by not giving it enough thought. I think as parents we're hung up on the idea that a university education will open doors and give them options. But the point we're missing is that if they're not happy in those options, they stand a good chance of not succeeding. If you want your kid to succeed, help them find what they love. Because if you're doing something you love, your chances of success increase. So I think we're approaching it from the wrong end. It's not an education that's going to make you successful. It's finding what you love to do. That makes it success, because then you'll seek out the education.
That harmonizes that. Sure, I certainly agree with that. And look, all we have to do is point to the richest man in America today, Bill Gates, who dropped out of university at 19. Now, he dropped out of Harvard, but he still dropped out of university because he was having so much fun doing this thing called computer programming that was in its embryonic stages at that time. Mm-hmm. And he parlayed that passion, of course, into one of the biggest fortunes in the world today. And that's not an exception. It's only an exception because most of us follow the formula rather than following our passion. And we end up working for our pension instead of working for our passion. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a trap in that many parents, because they have tremendous influence or like to think they have tremendous influence over their children's decision-making, can help children identify a path, define a path, a career path, that will deliver that kind of pension in their life rather than settling for some of the mediocrity that can define the rest of their life. In many ways, if it doesn't make it miserable, it'll certainly end up in job dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. Elaine, when you were considering your son's future, Stuart's future, what was the biggest fear that you had?
Biggest fear? I guess, like Vera said, just not being passionate about what you do. I've seen, who hasn't seen people that are working at jobs that they're not happy with, just to get the paycheck, and then they get in a rut, they get married, they perhaps have children, and they just don't see any way out. And so that was my fear, that he would get caught in that trap, that, and as a mom you don't want him to happen. So
was money a consideration? Like, when you think about your son's future, you're prepared obviously to spend some money on a university education, mm-hmm. to help them out. But in order to help them find that right path, is money then a consideration?
It's not a consideration to us, but that's perhaps just us.
Well, I think most parents want what's best for their kid, and they're willing to invest something in that. But do you think that it becomes a money issue that they say, well, it's better that they go and take any course, we'll put money into that because they'll end up with a skill, rather than investing money, Vera, in identifying what it is they'd love to do?
If they take the wrong course, they could spend 3-4 years spending money on an education that doesn't lead them to what they love to do. So why not invest a much smaller sum up front and make some better, accurate decisions? So if people are focusing on the cost of guidance, I think they're really focusing on the wrong thing, and in the end could cost themselves much, much more money. I know so many students, so many young people who spend 3-4 years at university. They went to university because it was the thing to do, because mom and dad said you should. After all, we need a university education. And then they end up in something completely different that they could have got to in another way. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm saying invest a little up front so you know which school, which programs, which courses are going to get you to where you want to be.
Right. Well, and this is coming from a financial advisor. All right, if there are any mothers out there listening, if you share some of the anxieties that Vera and Elaine have expressed, or you had different anxieties, there was a different reason that you worried about your son or daughter's future in terms of their career or their job prospects, why don't you give us a call, 521-TALK, 521-8255, because there's many people listening, and I'm sure that whatever you say, somebody will benefit from. *580 on your Bell Mobility system, and 1-800-580-2372. Now, Vera, we're going to talk for a few minutes about your daughter's situation, Vera, and Stuart, your son's situation, Elaine, how they benefited from getting the kind of assessment that I provided them, and what was the particular difference. Now, I opened today's show about saying that this career anxiety can cause fights in the home between parents and their children, and I did a little sort of dramatic presentation there. I don't think it's too far from the truth of what goes on in many homes, because there is a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension that builds up around this decision-making. And I want to know from you if by getting some, taking some action with your son and your daughter, alleviating some of that tension, did it in fact make it easier to get along with your child as a result of getting some clarity about what kinds of jobs they would be suited to do based on their natural talents, their God-given talents, Vera?
Absolutely, George. Now, in my case, we weren't fighting, but we were both stressed. My daughter and I both stressed in our own way. And as a result of the counseling, I'll tell you, George, we both benefited. I mean, she benefited because she's now happy. She's happy at what she's doing, and she knows, or she feels she knows what she wants to do. Now, she's still only 19, but the last time I spoke with her guidance counselor, the guidance counselor said to me, and this was after she had made her own decision about what to do, said, you know, it wasn't a guidance counselor, it was one of her teachers, phoned me up and said, I've never seen her so happy. And that's very important, because when you're happy and you've got your head screwed on right, you're going to make better decisions. The other big plus was for me, because even though I'm telling you these things and sounding like I'm somewhat enlightened, I was also a little nervous at the idea that she was not going to go buy the book and take your basic university education. I was equally torn. Part of me was saying, do the right thing, and the other part was feeling tremendously insecure.
Isn't that so often, as parents, we know what's best for our children,
exactly,
or we know what was best for us, but we don't want to apply the same principle to our children.
Exactly.
Because the world's telling us, its values are saying, you've got to get that university education, you've got to go and do this kind of a job like computers or whatever the case may be. And so we might make a decision, a brave decision, a courageous decision for ourselves, but we're scared to apply that principle to our children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's what we did, and both of us have come away feeling terrific about it. Right. I've learned as much as she has.
Right. Elaine, do you have any comment on that? Did your relationship with your son change in any way after he'd gone through an assessment process and had more clarity about his talents and how they matched up with jobs in the big wide world of work?
After coming out of the career counseling, he was radiant. he just felt really good about himself because it just gave him a little bit more focus than he had before. And you want to see your children happy. He felt very good, and the thing that you did recommend was for him to go to university, and gave him some idea of why. See, he thought, well, because Mom says that's the thing I've got to do, but from someone else that's not associated with the school, because there's a bit of authority thing happening there, but from someone else, a professional, who can say, the thing is to really, really listen to what he has to say, and asking the right questions, and he felt really good. And it's not like he knows exactly he's going to this university, he's going to take this course. That wasn't the type of career counseling you gave him. But the type that you did was relax. These are the things you're interested in, from what our conversation is, when you... But university would be the place to go to be able to see these things through.
Yeah, I think I put a lot of effort in giving him reliable and accurate information so that he can see the connection. It's one thing just for Mom to say you should go to university.
Yeah.
But when I can show him how his talents and the things that trigger or motivate those talents are connected to a university education,
yes,
and the kinds of jobs that that require university education,
that's right,
then he can make that connection. It becomes personal to him rather than just a value that Mom holds dear.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's get back to their personal stories in a few minutes. We're going to take a short break here. Please stay tuned to the Career Connection on 580 CFRA. We'll be right back.
This is CFRA's Career Connection with career counselor George Dutch. Call toll-free now. 1-800-580-2372 or 521-TALK, 521-8255. George will be back right after this.
CFRA every day.
The cost of it is $1.4 million. It is not 3.6.
The original bill for this entire facelift and work on Parliament Hill was $454 million. That has ballooned to $1.4 billion. It is that which drives taxpayers nuts.
Steve Madeley in the morning, weekday morning 6 till 9 on Ottawa's News Talk Radio 580 CFRA every day.
Where there's a will, there's a way to be sure that your wishes will be followed exactly. A will that says who gets your money and property, that names a guardian for any minor children, and that sees after the needs of elderly loved ones. The National Will Kit takes care of all of that and a lot more. Lawyer approved and legal throughout Canada, it's remarkably easy to use. And if you order your National Will Kit today, we'll include free of charge the new Family Legal Guide. You'll get valuable facts on small claims court, bankruptcy, landlord disputes, no-fault divorce, and more. A $14.95 value, it's yours free if you order now.
Have your charge card handy and call 1-800-810-1234 to order your National Will Kit and your free Family Legal Guide. Pay only $29.95 plus $5 GST and shipping for this $45 value. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-800-810-1234 now. That's 1-800-810-1234.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Well, it's 6:33 p.m. on Sunday, August 15th, and do you know where your son or daughter is? Especially if they're between the ages of 17 and 23. Where are they headed? What's their future? What have they got in store for them? University, college, work, right after high school? What's the situation in your home with your teen or with your young adult? Perhaps in the case of Elaine, they don't know what to do with their future. They have no idea. They're confused. They have no clarity about what kind of education to take or what kind of job to go into. Or in the case of Vera's child, she had a recommendation about a specific job. She might have had a few other jobs in her mind, but her mother didn't think that that was a good choice. But what were the other options available to them? These are the kinds of dilemmas that confront mothers and fathers all the time. And I'm happy to be joined in the studio with Vera Adamovich, a financial advisor here in Ottawa, and Elaine Bisson, a daycare supervisor here in Ottawa. Both of these people have sent their teens to me for career analysis, career assessment. My name is George Dutch, and for those of you that are just joining us, I have a private practice as a career consultant in Ottawa, and I work with quite a few teens and young adults between the ages of 17 to 23 to help give them some clarity so they can make decisions about their careers or their job prospects based on reliable and accurate information in terms of who and what they are in terms of their right work. And the methodology that I use is I focus not so much on interests and skills and values and aptitude, but I focus on their natural talents. I like these students to come to me just for an hour or so and to talk to me about things that they enjoy doing and that they do well, that they feel that they do well and they have fun doing, either now or in the past when they were younger. And it's amazing to me how easily 17 to 20-year-olds can talk about that. There's lots of things that they enjoy doing. And these things provide clues to what their talents are. And those talents can be correlated or matched up with jobs and organizations that will recognize those talents and reward them. And that's what I did in the case of both of the children of my guests this afternoon. Vera, what did your daughter, Adrienne, learn from the career assessment or analysis that I took her through?
Well, in Adrienne's case, George, it was kind of a roundabout process. When she came home from school announcing that she had made some very limiting decisions, I didn't want to say to her, I don't like that, I think it's wrong. But what I asked her was just to remain open-minded. I said, would you be open? You're only in the 12th grade. Would you be open to all possibilities in your life? And would you, and then I just asked her out of respect for me, would you just go and visit with you? Would you go and see George just for an hour? So she did that only because I asked her. And when she came back, she was reluctant to say that she'd really gained anything. And she said, well, I didn't really gain anything. He happens to agree with you, Mom, that ECE, working with young children in a confined environment, maybe won't suit me. And you and I, by the way, hadn't spoken. I hadn't given you any details.
Not at all.
You just read her the same way that her mother happened to read her. But then you did give her some very specific information about the kinds of environments and activities that you felt suited her. And when I got your written report, I agreed with everything you said. You were describing my kid and what she liked to do. What happened in her case, very shortly after that, she literally lucked into a summer job opportunity in between the 12th and 13th grade, working for a large company in a call center, doing exactly what you had described in your report. She, at first, I don't think even saw the connection. She was so excited about this job. And it is crazy about this job to this day. She continued working there all full-time through the summer, all through the 13th grade, and she wants to make this a career now. And she says, Mom, when I go on to study, I'm going to be studying to support this kind of a job, doing exactly what you had described. She didn't realize until once she got into it, she didn't see the connection.
Mm-hmm.
But when she saw the connection, her response was, oh, okay, now I understand it. She sees the value of it. And she now advises her friends, you know, don't struggle wondering what to do. Go out, seek some help, get some professional career counseling. So with her, it was a roundabout process. She didn't see it right away. Thank God I did and encouraged her just to open her mind a bit.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I write down my conclusions in a report, so that there is a kind of roadmap there that can help not only the teen, the young adult, but the parent, help them make good decisions. And it's not enough to just take one simple activity and extrapolate that into a job. But the more that I questioned her, interrogated her, if you will, mm-hmm. interviewed her about what she liked doing on the phone, the more it became apparent to me that she had a natural talent for communicating through what I call a presentation talent, talking on the phone, giving out information over the phone. Because it wasn't just girl chat about the cute guy in grade 12. It was, she was passing out information. She was looking for opportunities mm-hmm. to educate or inform her friends about things that she knew over the phone. And she preferred to do it over the phone. She was real clear about that. Mm-hmm. Rather than face-to-face or standing up in front of a group and talking about a class project, she liked to talk over the phone. Now, that seems simple and innocuous and harmless enough. But the more she talked about it, the more it revealed information to somebody like me who's trained to see these things and to ask the right questions, the more it became clear to me that a job that had as a core job duty a lot of time on the phone would be very well suited to her. And in fact, as you said, she lucked into a job where that was validated.
Yes.
She got to test that, and it was validated. And the thing about a natural talent is the more that you do it, the more that you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a chance to do it, mm-hmm. luckily, mm-hmm. just a few months after I had provided my analysis and written report, and that validated that talent, and she just grew in it. As you mm-hmm. said, she became quite mm-hmm. excited in it, and she just loved it, mm-hmm. that summer job.
George, if I could just give an example, though, to show how something like that, some people might hear that and think that that's somewhat limiting. Well, how many jobs can you get where you're talking on the phone all the time, mm-hmm. helping people?
Yeah. But we're just talking about one little talent. And people have 5 to 8 yeah. talents, most of which they're not aware, and that one talent can be correlated with one job duty.
Yeah. But to give an example, she does that now as a teenager working in a call center. I had lunch with a woman the other day who is an executive in the human resource department of a huge, huge company, but she works from home. And I said, how do you communicate with all the people you must talk to every day? She said, I do everything on the phone. She has a home office with a headset, and she does it from there. So just because, you know, you've got that one skill, there's many ways to apply it.
Right.
You know, you start at the basics, which is what you help them identify it, and then after that, there's many, many options.
But a simple thing like that, because your daughter did it so easily and so naturally, she probably didn't put a lot of value on it. And so when you point out the value of that and correlate it with job duties where people are getting rewarded for that very thing that you do
right,
naturally and effortlessly,
right.
and then you validate yeah. it through experience, yeah. that can be a powerful learning experiential tool
exactly.
for somebody like your daughter. Now, of course, she had other talents and identified those. Another one was that she had a natural bent for administration. She was the kind of person who could juggle 5 or 10 different tasks at once. She had a natural talent for multitasking, so she was very good at administrative activities. She liked performing administrative activities. And, of course, that's one of the things that she does all the time now. Elaine, let's move over to you. Your son, Stuart, as I remembered, was a real thinker. That
yeah.
guy could think. He was 17 years old, and he was a deep thinker at age 17. Was that something that you recognized in
him? I did.
How early in life?
Well, since he was born, he's like...
He came out thinking.
He did. And, you know, but when you say that, it sort of makes us smile, but, you know, is that like a talent?
But powerful talent.
It is. Mm-hmm. And he feels good about it now. I saw it sometimes as brooding.
Sure. But, or daydreaming.
Or daydreaming.
Right. Or drifting off.
Exactly.
Right. But the guy was thinking.
Exactly.
The wheels were turning up there.
That's right.
Around very sophisticated and complex issues sometimes.
That's right.
But if you were just to look at him, and if you didn't value or recognize that talent, you'd say, oh, the guy's drifting off again.
Exactly.
You know?
So to validate that skill, which, you know, when he came out and told me that's what you were saying, I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? But yeah, and it, he felt good. Yeah, I am good at that.
Right.
That is a talent.
Yeah. And when you put it in specific terms, that's one of the things that I emphasize in my reports, is I identify and define the talent in specific terms. So instead of saying, well, you're daydreaming, if I point out to him what you're really doing is reasoning and contemplating, mm-hmm. which are thinking talents.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all the jobs out there that mm-hmm. require as a core job duty, not the only job duty, but as a core job, be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be recognized and rewarded for your thinking, something you do all the time anyways.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tremendous validation for a young person,
mm-hmm.
as it was in the case of Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it showed also, because at the time that he took the career counseling, like, I didn't know if he was on the right track. Well, he is on the right track. He is going the direction he should be, and he feels better now. And it's not like he's been given this specific thing he's got to do, but to look at the options out there, and it will come to him as long as he remembers. It's got to be like under the thinking part. So, like you said in his report, psychology or sociology or one of those fields.
Or law, I said.
Exactly. And he was very, very interested in
right.
that. Because he remembers the fine details of those sorts of things.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
And what I remember about Stuart is that tremendous thinking talent for analyzing things.
Yes.
Understanding how things work.
Yes.
Rather than trying to solve the problem. In fact, he's motivated to understand how it works,
mm-hmm.
what it is, how it works. And once it comes time to solve the problem, he gets dismotivated.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really turn him on.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for him then to hand off what he's learned about
mm-hmm.
how it works and what it is to somebody to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now that he knows that,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have to feel bad when somebody criticizes him. Hey, well, you know all this stuff, but what problem have you solved?
Mm-hmm.
That's not his job.
That's right.
His job is to think it through, analyze it, figure out how it works, what it is, and then pass it off to somebody else who's got a talent for problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood that.
That's Adrian's job, I guess.
Yeah, somebody that can implement
yeah.
the solution that he's designed through his powerful thinking talents. And again, I don't want to narrowly define Stuart, because this was one talent he had. He had
mm-hmm.
a number of other talents, and he'll discover more.
Yes.
Because he's only, you know, 17, 18 years old. He'll discover more talents as he uses the core talent, the core talents that I identified for him. All right, let's take a short break here. You're listening to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA. If you have any comments as a mother of a 17 to 23-year-old and you'd like to join our discussion, please call in 521-TALK, 521-8255. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Career Connection on Ottawa's News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA. The number to call to speak with George Dutch is 521-TALK. 521-8255. George returns in a moment.
New on CFRA.
And it starts tomorrow.
CFRA Business at Night.
Business at Night.
It's the way your day should end. CFRA has partnered with the biggest names in the business to bring you
comprehensive analysis
of the day's business news.
Interviews with
CEOs of the world's top companies. Winners.
Losers.
Movers.
Shakers.
It's all on CFRA Business at Night. It's a changing world.
And it changes fast.
And CFRA helps you keep up. CFRA Business at Night. Make it your business to listen to Ottawa's News Talk Radio 580 CFRA every day.
You never know when life might throw you a curveball.
Kelvin Escobar is a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
One minute you are fine, the next you are in the hospital needing blood.
You can make a difference. So if you want to feel great this summer,
get off the bench, step out to the mound, roll off your sleeve, pitch in, save a life.
Blood, it's in you to give. Call Canadian Blood Services at 1-800-264-0680. That's 1-800-264-0680.
This is Steve Winogron, News Director at 580 CFRA. This radio station is a voluntary member of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, That means we adhere to a strict code of ethics and the board which enforces broadcast standards in Canada. We're proud of our record, and we invite your feedback directly to CFRA management. If we can't resolve your complaint, we'll direct you to the Independent Council. The Broadcast Standards Council and News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Thank you very much for joining me, George Dutch, here on The Career Connection this Sunday, August 15th. And it's now 6:46 in the evening. If you want to know more about what I do as a career consultant here in private practice in Ottawa, please visit my website, www.jobjoy.com. That's www.jobjoy, one word, .com. Or you can look me up in the yellow pages under Career Counseling, and my Ottawa office number is 563-0584. 563-0584. I know that one of the things that sets me apart from all other career counselors, at least in this city, is that I focus on the concept of natural talents. There's other elements that help indicate what a person should do in terms of work. For example, interest inventories are often used with young people. And interest inventories tend to identify the kinds of things that a young person is interested in and then match those up with jobs or job sectors. The problem with interests is that they're often sparked by circumstances or experiences in our life or perhaps a charismatic person. I had somebody in my office last week who had a charismatic teacher in high school of geography and went on to major in geography at university and became a teacher in geography, but doesn't have any particular pleasure or satisfaction teaching geography. Was just stimulated by a charismatic high school geography teacher. But that was an interest at the time and made a full-time career on it as a basis of that interest. So without getting caught up in career jargon, it's very easy to make decisions based on elements that aren't reliable and accurate information, at least not long-term reliable and accurate information. Now, I'm talking with Vera Adamovich, a financial analyst here in Ottawa, and the mother of Adrian, who came to see me for career counseling and referred to me by her mother, and Elaine Bisson, whose son Stuart came to me for career counseling. This notion of natural talent, which I take great lengths and great pains to educate my clients on, has that in any way changed the way that you look at your son, Elaine, and his friends?
Yeah, it does. I guess I was used to the old types of career counseling, or probably not old, because that's still the types that are being used in high school, of the inventory test. And the career counseling that you did with Stuart, where you really listen and talk to. I was kind of taken aback when he came out and he didn't have like a computer readout of what he should be doing, but of just listening and really drawing upon those things that perhaps seemed frivolous to me at the time, but drawing upon those skills. And so I'm looking at his friends now and saying, oh yeah, you know, they could really benefit from feeling good about themselves and knowing that those things that they spend time doing could be seen as something perhaps that they could go and take further just by talking to someone who knows.
What about the children you work with at the daycare center? Do you see talents in children as early as 5, 6, 7 years old?
Yeah, I work with 18-month-old children, and it's funny how we look at the children and say, you know, this child, I'd love to see him 20 years from now because he'll be in this type of career. Even Adrian and I remember looking after Vera's children when they were that young, and how children do have a natural talent. And I remember having a discussion with a colleague of mine about that, whether anybody could be taught something or whether it's a natural ability. And I'm one of these people that really believes it's a natural ability, and she feels that it is, anybody can do the job. And I don't believe that. I look at the young children that I work with and see where they're headed for the type
of natural abilities. Well, I think you're both right. I think anybody can be taught a certain skill, but they will never excel at it unless they have a natural talent, unless they have a flair for it.
That's right.
I mean, we all go to school and learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we know very early in our education which children have a natural flair for writing, mm-hmm. or have a natural flair for working with numbers, for doing the mathematics, mm-hmm. or a natural flair for presentations mm-hmm. of dramatic material, communicating, whatever the case may be. There's a difference between a natural talent and what I call a can-do skill. I don't call them skills, I call them can-do skills. We can learn them, and we can learn them well enough to do a job. But whether or not we will excel them, whether mm-hmm. or not we will have a flair in them, whether or not we will get a passion and pass on that joy of doing it to other people around us, mm-hmm. serving them with our joy or with our passion, is a different matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Vera? Did it in any way change the way that you looked at your daughter and the way that you communicated with her once you knew what her natural talents were and how they connected up with work?
Well, it did, George. And that's why I said earlier that I benefited from her career counseling as much as she did, because it encouraged me to stay focused on what is important for her, which is finding what she loves to do and what makes her happy. Because I really believe once you take care of that, the rest of it takes care of itself. You're then naturally guided to follow the right route that gets you to being good at what you do and fulfilled and a happy person. I think most parents want for their mm-hmm. kids is to lead a happy life.
Right. And one of the reasons I write this down, as I said earlier, is that I think having it written down makes yeah. it easier to help guide your son or daughter mm-hmm. through the minefield of life, through the decision-making minefield that makes up mm-hmm. our careers. It becomes, I think, a kind of roadmap on which to make decisions. At least you can refer back to it as mother and child and look at it and say, okay, now you're going to make this decision. Does this decision harmonize with what we know about you based on this roadmap that we have? Have you used it since I've written it for Adrian, perhaps even 2 years ago?
I use it to keep open-minded about things. Yeah, I think about it and reflect and look at it from time to time to encourage myself to allow her to follow the path that she's, well, combination, lucky enough to find, except I know it's working because it's the fit of the things that you identified for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, you know, wish that for every kid. I really do. I think every kid should have the benefit of that kind of guidance.
So you're saying as a mother, when you're assailed by doubts or worries or anxieties because the world is saying, well, she must go into computers or she must do this if she wants a secure future, you can take out that roadmap
yes.
and remind yourself of the clear path that yes. she's got set out before
yes.
her.
Absolutely. I was speaking with that.
And that's somewhat reassuring for
you.
It
is. It's entirely reassuring. And what keeps me encouraging her in the right direction and not falling back on those hang-ups that we all have as parents, which are, you got to go to university, you got to follow the routine.
So if Adrian decides not to go to university, obviously you're going to have some misgivings about that, because that, it, you know, education is the solution to job. We're so socialized and conditioned to that. But do you feel that you can give her that leeway now?
I feel that I can now, entirely as a result of this process. Mm-hmm. It would have been much more difficult. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a good friend just the other day whose very bright daughter, just coming out of grade 13, top marks and all of the, took all the right things, took the sciences and the maths because she wanted to be prepared so that she could do anything. She announced to her mother the other day that she doesn't know what she wants to do and wants to take a year off. Well, Mom was dismayed, terribly dismayed. And we had a conversation about this, and I reminded her that she herself, 6 years ago, went through a major career change where she gave up. She said, Vera, I finally got the courage to give up this, you know, decently paying government job and follow my own passion. And she chose a new career that she's just doing so well and loving so much. And when she expressed anxiety about her daughter not going on, immediately taking time off, I said, why? And she said, well, you know, when I think back to my government job, sometimes I was passed over for promotion because I didn't have university education. And what I did was reminded her that if maybe she got those promotions, she might have been tempted to stay in this job that she found boring for 20 years. That's why she left it. She hated it. I said, if you're making twice as much money, maybe you wouldn't have had the courage to leave. So be grateful that you had the courage to get out of it. And why would you want your kid to just follow in the, you know, the routine steps of university right after school where you don't even know what you want yet? She was, you know, she was grateful for me getting her thinking in that direction. And the only reason I was able to do that was because of my experiences with my daughter and what she learned from you.
I think it's a sensible thing for a person who doesn't have clear direction to take a year off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because we're talking about the rest of their life.
That's
you know,
right.
1 year measured against another 40 years of work. Mm-hmm. And yet, as a parent, as a mother, it creates a lot of anxiety because we're not doing something.
You know, I think we miss the basics. When you think about life in general and the things we all do the things we like to do. What do we do most of it? What do we want to do most of? The things we love to do. So if you help your kid find what they love to do, they're going to do more of it. And then they'll take the right steps. They'll get the education in that field. You know, I think we're so hung up where we're missing the basic essentials, which are just help your kid find what they love.
It's a simple enough concept, and yet there's so much that seems to stand in our way in terms of obstacles and roadblocks to claim that for ourselves and for our children. Because if we can claim it for ourselves, we're the best models we can be for our children, aren't we? Okay, Elaine, the last word to you. I identified that your son, Stuart, was very suited to going to university. I'm sure that was a relief for you.
It was.
And how does that, in some way, change the tenor of the discussions you have with Stuart now? Is it, now you can focus on the niche that he should take, the path he should take in university?
Yeah, just
rather
much
than fighting with him about whether or not he should go.
That's right. It's just much more relaxed. And knowing that we have been on the right track, it's been validated. He knew also that you would be honest enough with him that if you thought perhaps something else might be more suited to him, that you would have given him some advice in that way. So he respected you, and it's been very tension-free, I would say. And he's going to strive very hard in his OACs to go on. So it's worked out very, very well.
Right, and I'm sure that that tension-free environment at home has a lot of value attached to it.
We have other tensions, I'll tell you. Vera and I were talking about that. Let's
sure
leave the...
But at least this one's out of the way.
That's right.
Right.
One down.
Okay.
400 to go.
Well, look, I want to thank you both for coming in and sharing your stories with us, and as well as your stories about your children. And I hope we didn't misrepresent them in any way if they're listening this evening.
Yeah, right.
So apologies in advance if we did. Vera Adamovich, financial analyst here in Ottawa, and Elaine Bisson, a daycare supervisor, thank you so much for joining me here on The Career Connection to talk about your experience of your son and daughter going through a career assessment or career analysis with me, George Dutch. All right, I hope somebody or something puts you on the path to job joy this week. Until next week, this is George Dutch signing off.